it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
You know, there have been a couple of, I don't know if it was challenges or rumors that Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries will debate on C-SPAN.
I'll debate Hakeem Jeffries anywhere, anytime, as soon as we get the government open. He's engaging in political theater and stating absurd things. It is the Democrats who voted to shut the government down. Look at the record. 9 times now, the Republicans in Congress, House and Senate, have voted to open the government, and 9 times, Democrats in Congress have voted to close it. All but one. Hakeem Jeffries led the effort in the House. We had this debate on the government shutting down on the House floor. We won. We passed the bill in the House. We sent it to the Senate.
Jonathan Martin is with us, Politico's senior political consultant and columnist. I think I said columnist, meant to say columnist and not consultant. I can't put the words together, J. Mart. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, man, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
What in the world is going to happen here with the government shutdown? Let's start with that. They go back and forth. There seemed to be some reporting last week that some of the administration members were interested in having, you know, a discussion and putting this discussion about the healthcare subsidies on the table if we'd vote to, you know, reopen the government. So where would you handicap all that situation right now?
I don't think we're going to see a breakthrough anytime soon because I don't think the Republicans feel as though they're losing the PR battle. And I think the Democrats are so committed to this because it's the only power they have. And it's the only way of conveying to their base that we hear you and we're standing strong and confronting Trump. It's just a vehicle for Democrats to sort of push back against Trump generally. It just happens to be this is the avenue that they're taking. So I just don't know, absent the politics of this really shifting against one side or the other, why either is going to give in.
Yeah, so where does that leave us? Because at a certain point, you would think that they would reopen the government. But I, to your point, I don't see the Republicans kind of cave in. They've said, you heard what Speaker Johnson said. I think there was another vote earlier today. There are some Democrats that are interested maybe in having discussions, aren't there?
Yeah, there are, and there's a handful in the Senate, but I think that they're still pretty dug in because they want the Republicans to sort of talk health care. And Republicans have said, we'll talk health care, but not until you guys open the government back up. So they're still at loggerheads. And the public, if we're being totally honest, I don't think cares that much. I mean, I don't think this has broken through with the average voter.
I agree with you. I think you're right about that.
If TSA closed tomorrow at every American airport and the ATC was sent home and the American traveling public couldn't fly, this thing would end in a New York minute.
Yeah.
But as you know, that's not what happens. And most you know, federal services are still ongoing. So
what would you say about, you know, obviously part of the accusation here on the part of the Republicans is Chuck Schumer. He voted for this clean CR in the spring. Things have changed now because he's worried about AOC and a primary.
Sure.
So how would you address the politics of that?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's very real that Democrats broadly, and Schumer specifically, have got to show their base that they're fighting back. And they see Gavin Newsom being rewarded politically for playing at Trump's game and for swatting at Trump. And he's established himself as the kind of leader of the opposition. And so if you're a Democrat in Congress, you know, it's hard to resist that. And also, I think genuinely, they do feel a sense of outrage about some of what Trump has done and sort of conducting himself. And again, Mark, this is the only vehicle they have to push back.
Yeah.
All right. That they don't control the House, the Senate, and the White House. This is it. That's all they got. You know,
how tough is it for some of these Democrats on Capitol Hill right now to admit on the Middle East peace front, that's quite an achievement. I mean, obviously, there are things that can happen, and, you know, I would anticipate that there will be some challenges because I've been around Middle East peace for a long time. But, I mean, look, the guy's getting stuff done, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think of all of the Trump achievements in the first 9 to 10 months, I think a lot of it is it sort of leans heavily into Trump myth-making. This is the one where you actually do have to recognize that Trump, by dint of his, let's say, unusual personality, was able to get the Israelis and Arabs to the table and to get a deal done. Because Trump's able to say, with maximum credibility on the right, Bibi, you got to take the win. And because of his leverage with the Arab states, you know, he's able to basically tell them too, this is the only way that I'm going to, you know, be able to rein in Bibi. You know, he's pretty effective in his own unusual way, right?
Let me ask you this, Jonathan Martin. Let's go to Virginia and the whole Jay Jones situation.
Sure.
From those of us here in the middle of the country, it's a little confusing as to why Democrats have not distanced themselves. Is there a racial factor here that's at play, or what's going on?
Yeah. You know, I think that there's an element to that. Black voters are a key part of the Democratic coalition, and if they abandon one African-American on their ticket, I think there'd be some backlash. Here, I think, is the bigger issue. I think Democrats see Trump getting away with a lot, and they say, why should we play by the old rules and have to dump this guy overboard when Trump's out there, you know, making money off crypto or saying or doing all kinds of things? We're not going to keep playing by the old rules. We're going to play by Trump rules. I think that's the view of Democrats.
Do you think that, I mean, I've seen the polling. Abigail Spanberger has had a pretty significant lead over the Lieutenant Governor Winston Sears. Do you see that tightening, though? Are there some, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, not I don't think dramatically. I think if this thing gets down to 5 points, that's probably the best case scenario for the Republicans, because in that case, they have a chance to win the AG race and beat Jay Jones.
Yeah.
I just think Democrats have a huge financial advantage and, you know, a better candidate, frankly, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get that, unfortunately, and I think you even wrote about this in one of your columns, because I always kind of point out that the quality of the candidate matters, and in one of your referenced columns, you talked about how, look, you have, you know, Roy Moore and Herschel Walker, although I thought Herschel maybe could, he was a really nice guy. Christine O'Donnell, all these people that have lost in the past, and those were not good
kids.
You know, Todd Akin here in Missouri, we had that as well, obviously.
You got it. So, this is a 15-year story of mostly Senate races, but also some other races, in which Republicans have given away either competitive states or states that they frankly should win. Claire McCaskill had no business winning that 2012 campaign, a presidential cycle, and she pulled it out. Why? Well, in large part because of the nature of her opponent. I think the Republicans in the Senate have figured this out, and they have smartly, Mark, used Trump to get behind strong candidates early on and sort of try to preemptively stop any of these folks who are going to be surefire losers in the fall.
So 5 weeks ago today, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. I have admitted many, many times on the air that I was I underestimated the reach that he had, and the reaction was overwhelming.
Yes.
And here we are, and you've been around politics a long time. What does this – because this seems like – a lot of people said this seems different, and you're seeing these packed halls now Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
How do you reflect on that from a political standpoint? Because this really does seem to be a movement that is even taking off more. And, you know, obviously her, Erica, Charlie's wife, is just amazing, right? So that's appealing to a lot of people.
He's got a real following.
Yeah.
He's got a real following. I think like a lot of folks who were tragically, cut down their youth, I think his legacy will be enlarged because of that. And I think, you know, because of the talents of his widow, I think they have an opportunity to make Turning Point into a really significant voter engagement and mobilization vehicle on the right. It kind of already was getting there. And I think tragically, sadly, this probably makes it even bigger going forward.
Jonathan Martin, always great to have you on. Are you still able to communicate directly with our mutual friend Scott Jennings, or do you have to go through his people because of his meteoric rise to fame and stardom? Because, wow.
I have to send him a gold embossed envelope on parchment requesting the pleasure of his company. Exactly.
It's very difficult to get him now.
It's been interesting.
He's got the new book coming out. I'm trying to get him here to St. Louis for an event, so keeping our fingers crossed.
Scott's having the time of his life, man. He's having the time of his life. Exactly.
J. Mark, great to hook up with you. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.